It's international break time for the PWHL as many of the players are going to Utica, New York for the Women's World Championships starting April 3rd, and the PW will be on break for about 3 weeks. So the standings as they are right now are going to stay that way. If your team is where you want them to be, you can enjoy it for a little while, and if you're on the outside looking in, you've got to kind of suffer with that feeling until they get back for their final five games. There's a lot to cover, and I have a couple of guests joining me. So let's get started with the PWHL Puck Drop Podcast.
It's time for the PWHL Puck Drop Podcast.
So headline number one is, of course, the Women's World Championships coming up in just a few days. Most players have now taken off for practice with their national teams, and the players that are staying behind have wrapped up the practices with their PW teams and are just on their individual breaks, probably continuing to train and staying in touch with the staff for sure. But this break is going to be really interesting to see from a couple of points of view. Obviously, the players that are going to play are playing for really high stakes hockey, so it's going to bode well for them to, you know, ramp up that level of play and competition. And I expect to see nothing but the best when they get back. And the players that have had the extra practice time might benefit from that as well, or maybe the rest will, you know, cause them to have too much of a layoff. But let's look at the Women's World Championships themselves. So they do start on April 3rd and run to the 14th. And there are 10 teams in the tournament. Starting on April 3rd, we're going to have three games. Denmark and Sweden will open it, and then Finland versus Czechia and USA versus Switzerland on that day. So you can get a nice appetizer going. And Canada and USA will play in the round robin on April the 8th, and the games will take place at the Adirondack Bank Center. So you can check out the full schedule online, but it's going to be very, very interesting to see how the, you know, PWHL players that are on the same teams or different teams or have formed some different alliances in their games this year, now getting back together. The roster for Team Canada was announced. The 23 players includes 20 players who were on the squad from last year, where they lost in the final to the U.S. 6-3. In Brampton. And so, of course, that's led by Marie-Philippe Poulin. We have not heard for sure about her injury. She has missed the last four games in the PWHL. And apparently she was skating in Montreal, but just not ready to go for their last game. Maybe, you know, just getting in a little extra rest to make sure she's ready. But I'm sure she didn't want to do a disservice to her Montreal team either. So we have two players, cousins, Julia Gosling and Nicole Gosling, set to make their senior team debuts. That's going to be fun to see. And of course, for all teams, they are welcoming back the players from the NCAA that played with them previously, either in the rivalry series or at the Women's World Championship. So notable addition for Canada is, of course, Sarah Filliere. She is definitely a first-line player and can make a big difference there for them. Daniel Serdakny, who played for Colgate and finished out her season there, will be joining the team. And then pretty much on the back end, it's everyone we expected with the addition of Gosling. Notably, I believe Jesse Eldridge is not on the squad this time. I think that's about the only, you know, striking omission for Team Canada. So quickly, Emily Clark, Sarah Filliere, Julia Gosling, Brianne Jenner, Emma Malte, Sarah Nurse, Kristen O'Neill, Marie-Philippe Poulin, Jamie Lee Rattray, Daniel Serdakny, Natalie Spooner, Laura Stacey, Blair Turnbull, on the back end, Erin Ambrose, Ashton Bell, Jamie Bourbonnais, Renata Fast, Nicole Gosling, Jocelyn The Rock, and Ella Shelton. And Kristen Campbell makes her return along with, of course, the Anne-Renee Desbiens and Mash Meyer tandem. So And Troy Ryan and the coaching staff will return for Canada. Obviously, their odds weigh heavily on whether or not Poulin can play. We're going to watch that really closely to see if there's an announcement there. So as for Team USA, they haven't named their final roster. They have 39 players invited to the evaluation camp that will take place in Lake Placid. 13 PWHL players are listed and included, of course, Kendall Coyne, Schofield, Taylor Heisey, Nicole Hensley, Kelly Panic, Grace Sumwinkle from Boston, Aaron Frankel, Megan Keller, and Hillary Knight. Ottawa has Savannah Harmon, Gabby Hughes, and Haley Skimura. And New York has Alex Carpenter and Toronto's Jesse Comfer for the U.S. Boston also has two other international players, Susanna Tappany and Switzerland's Alina Mueller. So a lot of PWHL talent, and it's going to be fun to see them kind of get back on their national squads and see if any of those rivalries carry over. A lot of the players, of course, play together on the Canadian teams, like Boston and Minnesota have a strong presence of U.S. players. But some of them, like Jesse Comfer herself, you know, has been playing in Toronto with a lot of Team Canada. It's just going to be interesting, really, really interesting, more like the World Cup and that kind of thing that you see in the NHL when players who aren't used to playing together or weren't used to for a little while will be rejoining each other. Good to see that Kristen Campbell is back on the roster for Team Canada and will definitely fire up those games and spend a good portion of the 2 weeks in April watching that really closely. So the round robin comes to an end on the 9th of April, and then we will go to the quarterfinals on the 11th. The semifinals will be held on the 13th, and then the gold medal and bronze medal, or first place and third place games, will be on the 14th of April. The Team Czechia is going to be fascinating with Carla McLeod and some of the players that she's now got with her in Ottawa. That'll be just a real storyline to keep tabs on. So the U.S. plays Switzerland on that first day, and then they do play Czechia on Friday, April 5th, and then Finland on the 6th. So the U.S. is benefiting a lot from the players that are now available from the NCAA. Of course, you've got Hannah Bilka from the NCAA champion, The Ohio State University. Izzy Daniel from Cornell, who was a Patty Kazmaier finalist. Britta Curl from Wisconsin. Joy Dunn, who scored the championship goal for Ohio State. Lacey Eden from Wisconsin. Layla Edwards from Wisconsin. Abby Murphy, Minnesota. Casey O'Brien from Wisconsin. So they are getting just an influx of talent. On the back end, Kayla Barnes from Ohio State will be on the squad. And a couple others are, you know, on the 39-player list. So we're not positive, but it looks like Sydney Morrow from Colgate, Allie Simpson also from Colgate, Anna Wilgren from Wisconsin. And the goaltenders, I think, will end up being Aaron Frankel and Nicole Hensley. And we'll see who's the third goalie. It'll be one of the goalies from the NCAA for sure. So, you know, watch for that this weekend. As I said, Bilka, Carpenter, Curl, Eden, Edwards, Heisey, Hughes, Janicki, Knight, Murphy, Panic, and Skimura are returning on D. We have Barnes, Gilday, Harmon, Harvey, Keller, and Wynn, and the returning goaltenders, of course, Frankel and Hensley. Daniel will be attending the event for the first time. If she makes the team, that'll be her first appearance. So a lot to watch for there. And it's going to be fun to see Susanna Tappany with Team Finland and Alina Mueller with Switzerland. And then, of course, you've got Mrazova, Vanisheva, Lashkova from Montreal is unfortunately still injured. We do have Denisa Krizova, who plays for Minnesota. She'll be on that Czech roster. And I'm forgetting somebody. Aneta Terlova, also from Ottawa. I think she's been named the captain. So Carla McLeod will get back behind the bench and coach those girls. We'll see if they can, you know, make an upset and maybe appear in the semifinals or see if they can go further than they have ever before. The other storyline, of course, that we want to just touch on is the battle for the playoff spot. The fourth and final spot looked to be a tussle between PWHL Ottawa and Boston. And then on Monday night, we had Boston falling to New York, and that dealt them a pretty severe blow to their, you know, playoff hopes. They've plunged as far as odds to make the playoffs, but that's pretty much a reflection of just their recent games and if trends continue. So right now you've got Toronto, Minnesota, something like 99.9% probability to make the playoffs. Montreal just right behind with 98. And Ottawa has jumped up to 70% chance with their recent two wins, including ending the streak for Toronto. Great performance, and happy to see Darryl Watts get a hat trick. That team's been, you know, feeling a little bit cursed, but definitely deserving better results and starting to show. They did, of course, trade Lexi Agia to Boston for Cheyenne D'Arcangelo at the deadline. That was an interesting move. We covered that in the last episode, so check that out. So we're going to welcome a guest in to talk about that very playoff battle and that situation coming up right here. So the PWHL is in the international break for the Women's World Championships, and we want to take a look at the tight playoff race, which was really tight for fourth, fifth between Boston and Ottawa. And so here to do that with us, we welcome Kelsey Durham. She's a writer for Inside the Rink and writes mostly about PWHL Boston and is a Megan Keller super fan. If you've seen her profiles on Twitter and her articles, doing a great job and attending some of the games in Boston. So welcome on in, Kelsey.
Thank you.
Okay, so the race between Boston and Ottawa was definitely a storyline for the past few weeks. And I know you're looking at it from the Boston side of things. And unfortunately, with the last few games that have been played, Ottawa has found more success. Boston did beat them 2-1 in the shootout at the game in Detroit. But since then, it's gone a little south for Boston. What do you have to say about that?
It's definitely weird to say because that was an electric game, and I feel like that would have given us more of an energy boost towards the playoff race. But the game with Detroit, we started off great. We had that game in our control, and then the third period came, and it kind of all let loose. Detroit got their comeback win, made it 11th winning streak, I believe. And then a game against New York, another winnable game, but took too many penalties, in my opinion, and New York was able to convert on about half of them. So definitely our penalty kill unit and our power play unit has just not been going well for us, as well as chemistry on the ice.
Yeah, I'd like to delve into that a little bit more. I mean, you're right. They've been close games, but it's almost like the identity that Ottawa was saddled with, where they're just finding ways to lose almost. So if we pull up their last pull up their games in March, where they played seven and they actually had zero regulation wins, five regulation losses, two overtime wins, or a shootout and an overtime. Whereas Ottawa had three regulation wins, which was huge for them because they haven't been pulling those in, and a regulation loss and then two shootout losses. Yeah, the chemistry, I mean, the special teams, the power play especially is a storyline for Boston. What can you tell us about that?
Our power play is lacking, and I believe it's the lowest in the league, conversion-wise. We don't really convert well on power plays. We did have a power play goal for Sydney Morin in the Toronto game, I believe. So that gave us a little spark, but it seemed all that kind of went away once that puck dropped yesterday.
Yeah, that game, it was tough to watch that one. It my heart goes out to, like, you know, I know they're trying to do everything right and they've got all the talent in the world, and something's just off. Like, what's your
something's gut not clicking?
What's your gut feeling? I mean, Alina Mueller has done okay. Maybe she looks a little tentative, and Hillary Knight Please tell us what you see there. I mean, your girl Megan Keller is, I think she's second in scoring behind Mueller. So what gives?
I think it's all just about the chemistry on the ice. However, we nearing the last month of the season, so you're starting to wonder like when will it hit? Hopefully, with the Women's World Championship, something happens. Maybe they get their groove back, especially Hillary Knight, because she has been pretty silent this season.
Yeah, I know there's like quiet speculation that she might be injured. She just doesn't really have the zip, or it looks like the effort is there, but definitely the numbers aren't. And in the rivalry series, the last few games, I think she was pretty quiet as well. But the World Championships have been her stage, so maybe that will spark her.
Give her a nice return for the final playoff push.
Yeah. So, also, I wanted to just check in with you about the trades. Boston has made two trades this season. They made the first one early on, and I gave it a pretty negative review, giving up on Sophie Jakes, more or less. She wasn't performing well, and they got a good player in Susanna Tappany for sure. That trade has been all right, but Jakes has stepped up in Minnesota. What do you think?
Yeah, she's definitely doing well in Minnesota. I still think it was too early of a trade to really know the impact that Sophie Jakes would have given Boston. It definitely came out of nowhere. I didn't expect it. But Dominique, she's a good player and she's definitely done some things for Boston. She started off on a good note along with Abbie Cook. They've both been pretty quiet recently, but I guess so as most of the team has been. So I'm just hoping for the spark after the Women's World Championship for all of them to get back in.
Yeah, and then the injury to Lauren Gabel, of course, is, a blow. And then they went ahead and traded for Alexia Gia, which caused a lot of ripples, as you know. I think they won that trade straight up. D'Arcangelo has potential, but wasn't really showing all the form that she had in the PHF. So were you happy with that trade?
I was definitely happy with that trade. I was expecting a lot more going to Ottawa,
Yeah.
but a little relieved it was just one piece. And I'm really happy to have Gia back on our squad. She's just a great person in general, and she has the talent. And when she arrived, Lauren Gabel was the leading goal scorer, I believe, but now she holds that with 5 goals.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We'll look at the stats here. If you're watching on the screen, we're looking at the overall team stats for Boston, and it's just so noticeable that Hillary Knight is not even in the top five. But if you want to talk about Megan Keller just a little bit, she's looked like everything promised and more. Just a great, great player.
Yeah, she's on fire. I have seen a little bit of speculation that she has been injured, but she still holds, I believe, the most points as a defense, second most points as a defender in the league behind Ella Shelton.
Yes, and she's known for that. She fires that big shot from the point. She is just a big presence, literally and figuratively. So she has definitely come through. And Jamie Lee Rattray has, I think, been everything that you could expect as well.
Yeah, she does great every game. She makes some sort of impact. She's great to have on the team.
So their playoff chances went from pretty much tied with Ottawa back at the end of February. They were both at like 45, 46%. And then with these latest games, Boston's chances, statistically just going with if trends continue. So this is not to say if they turn around and won three games and Ottawa lost three games, it can change so quickly as this illustrates. But Boston's at 27 and Ottawa's now at 70% to make the playoffs. Are you feeling, you got to look at those standings for like 3 weeks now and kind of spin your wheels.
Definitely not how I wanted to go into the international break. Definitely some games we definitely needed to win, but don't count us out yet. There's still 5 games left. Anything can happen, really.
Yeah, for sure. So, okay, one last question for you. I actually picked Boston to win the, finish first or win the championship just based on their draft and the amount of talent that they had. Obviously, this is why they play the game on the ice. You got to get out there and do it. So if you, Kelsey, were in the position of Courtney Kessel right now and you're the coach, is there anything with lines or personnel or strategic play, not to put you on the spot, but I haven't watched closely enough to see if adjustments have been made. I know she's swapped up the top two lines and tried to find combinations, but what would you do as coach of PWHL Boston coming back for the five games?
Yeah, it definitely does seem that the lines they have been switched up, but for the most part, they are still like your general lines, like your usual lineup. So definitely like messing around with the chemistry. Some players work well with others, so I think testing them out, like testing who works well with each other, would definitely be probably the next step for Boston, especially looking how they perform at the Women's World Championship.
Right, the players that go off. I'm really curious to see if there's, any difference in the players that go and play and keep, kind of keep their rhythm versus the players that stay back. So I'll put a graphic on the screen of who from Boston is going. I think there's probably about six or seven of them, and mostly on Team USA. And then the players that are left behind, not left behind, but are maybe taking a short break, obviously staying in shape and practicing. But it'll be interesting to see. And again, coming back to Hillary Knight, my opinion is that I just don't think they can really finish it out unless she has just some better stats and starts to really show up.
Definitely. She was our biggest pick, and she's the captain. She needs to lead this team into the playoffs and get that final spot.
All right, so we will definitely keep an eye on these last games. It's going to be a sprint, and I think it's going to be really tight. We'll see when the gold plan comes into effect. I'm thinking not until the last couple of games. So thank you so much, Kelsey. We'll look for your work again on Inside the Rink and watch this playoff race closely. We'll see if Boston can turn it on and finish it out.
It'll be a good next month, that's for sure.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Sure. So that was some interesting insight. And before we jump to our next topic, I want to quickly mention the three stars of the week. Daryl Watts, you can't give it to anybody else. The first star, 4 goals, 4 points in 2 games played. Breanne Jenner, a great captain, 2 goals, 3 assists in her 2 games. And Natalie Spooner, 3 goals in the 2 games played. She keyed that victory against Boston and then did her best and got 2 goals against Ottawa in the losing effort. But I don't think that's going to slow her down. She's going to go play for Canada and hopefully have a great run there. So quickly, we're going to do our segment. I'm going to do this myself and I'm going to do it on the fly.
Next up,
it's six in six. All right, so this won't take 6 minutes because I'm simply going to go team by team and pick the player who is going to the World Championships and needs a good performance there to continue to, contribute and key for their teams to succeed and either make the playoffs or do well in the playoffs. So let's start with the obvious one, Boston's Hillary Knight. I've talked about it. We've all kind of, speculated and wondered why she just hasn't quite had the seat. Well, hasn't had the season at all that we would have expected. In her 19 games, she has 4 goals, 3 assists, 7 points. She's on the plus side. She's been contributing, but she is not among the top five or even six players on her team for scoring. She hasn't, like we said, hasn't kind of showed up the way that other captains have, and she's capable of it. So maybe she's, quietly preparing to just break out at the World Championships, and that would bode well for Boston for sure. So, and looking at, there are a couple of names that you could pick, I think the ones that you might think of are going to be just fine. So I won't mention those bigger names. I'm going to look at Nicole Hensley. I think she's going to get a couple of starts between her and Aaron Frankel. Not sure how they're going to divide that up. Frankel's probably got the edge on her a little bit, but Hensley has played very, very well for Minnesota, and for her to get some wins, or, you know, maybe even the championship and get some more confidence, could just help buoy them as they definitely move into the playoffs, and she'll be the starting goalie there. So that's my pick for Minnesota. Hang on while I pull up the next team. I'm doing this on the fly. Maybe it is going to take 6 minutes. Montreal, let's look at them. I won't say Poulin because assuming that she's going to play again, she's just on the list of, you know, just do what you do and you'll be all right. So let's look instead at Erin Ambrose. Strong defender. She's had a good season. She's fourth overall in scoring on Montreal with 10 points in 19 games. And I think she's been everything they expected when they drafted her, and probably will show up and do what she does. But, you know, I'm looking more at her contributions to Team Canada, whether maybe she can step that up a little bit offensively since she's been given that role with Montreal, and then can carry even more confidence back. She's just a really fun player to watch. So for New York, who are we going to look at? I guess I've got to say Abby Rock. It's been a little bit of an up and down season for her. Her plus minus is at minus 11, even though she is fourth in team scoring with 11 points. And that's definitely where she fits and has performed well that way. But it's been just a little bit rocky with, you know, that dangerous hit and just some rumblings that, you know, I don't know, rumblings about team chemistry. I'll just say that. She's a feisty player. She likes to chirp. She plays really feisty with Team USA. And if she can, you know, just kind of grab that identity and run with it and come back to New York and continue to contribute the way she has, I think that could bode well for them. Whether they're in the gold plan race or not, I don't know. But that's going to be someone that I'm keeping an eye on for sure. Let's jump over to Ottawa. And I'm going to look at Mrazova for Czechia. That'll make up for not picking Vinicheva. What a great surprise she's been. Not even a surprise, but what a great player and, you know, point getter she has been for Ottawa. 17 points in 19 games, fourth overall in lead scoring right now. And she will definitely be one of the leaders on Team Czechia. And if she can continue that, and she is a skilled player, so we'll be watching her closely. And she could be key. You know, that line of Mrazova, Jenner, and Watts are just getting warmed up and clicking. Glad to see Watts get that performance. So that's going to be the key for Ottawa. So looking at Toronto, you know, they have a lot of players on Team Canada, and I'm just going to assume that Spooner, Nurse, Malte, Fast on the Rock, Blair Turnbull are going to be just fine. So let's look at that interesting situation with Jessie Compher. She's been kind of a third line player, playing a lot with Rebecca Leslie, and only has one goal. That was at the Battle on Bay Street, 5 points in 19 games. So she is going to be playing against a lot of her teammates, and that's always an interesting situation. She's been a really good player and, you know, a valuable kind of checker and physical presence for Team USA. So it would be really nice to see her rejoin her American teammates and have a good World Championships and bring that back to Toronto, who are sitting solidly in first and are eyeing whether they might want to pick Ottawa or Montreal in the playoffs. So that's my 6-6. Please let me know your thoughts on this too, like who you're looking forward to seeing in the World Championships, whether you're cheering for USA, Canada, or somebody else entirely. And we're going to have a lot of coverage for you, so stay tuned on that. So that's going to wrap up this episode, and I hope you enjoyed it. There's a lot to look forward to, even though there's a break for a few days before we even get some more hockey. But there will be some great hockey to be seen at the Women's World Championships. So, you know, bookmark this channel or this podcast and join the discussion in the community. Really appreciate everything that you guys have been helping me with. I've had a couple articles posted on the Hockey News Women's section. Really excited to get that started and bring you some more news, promote this great game, and enjoy the PWHL. So we'll see you in the next one.
PWHL Puck Drop Podcast.